May I speak in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I've just got all my papers mixed up on my sermon, so I have to try and put it back together. It should always put page numbers on your sermon. It make it much easier. So you'll have to bear with me as we go from page one to page two, and I'll find out where it is. What to preach on Epiphany Sunday? It's the time when the Magi come to visit Jesus, these visitors from the East. We could talk about the gifts they bring, the gold, the frankincense and the myrrh, which the church has interpreted in lots of different ways. We could talk about the names that have been given to them in tradition by the church. We haven't got a clue what names they really were, but the church has, you know, decided they're going to give them three names because they've got to call them something. I just wonder about the whole thing. And then the fact that we live in a town which has so many different faiths and so many different nationalities, I thought we've got to look at this whole idea of where Jesus stands in relation to people from other faiths, from other countries, from other places. Epiphany is a wonderful time when we think of Jesus being made known, being shown forth. I mean, Epiphany, manifestation, revelation to the Gentiles. So the idea is one of good news, that God isn't seen to be located in one small community, but he's kind of shared with everybody. So that's meant to be good news. And Jesus moves out of Jewishness, moves out of the Old Testament, that narrow kind of confined area, and becomes much more inclusive. And yet... adherents of Christianity over the years have not been very inclusive at all. In fact, Jesus has been seen as a touchstone of God in a way that if you don't touch Jesus, you don't touch God. So instead of being inclusive, it's almost exclusive. The presence of Jesus seems to be pushing people away, because if you're not an adherent to Jesus, then you're on the outside. You're not included in God's plan of salvation. So you're lost. So Jesus is a light to the Gentiles, but he's also, in a sense, excluding people from God's presence. Does that make sense? It's about judgment and where salvation is found. And if salvation is found in Jesus, he's not found elsewhere, then what we've got is, you know, if you're with Jesus, you're okay. But if you're not with Jesus, you're lost. And that's very much the way in which Jesus has been seen and preached. And we have to be really, really careful. And I just wonder whether we can look at Epiphany in a slightly different way. As Christians, we're fortunate. We've got the light of Christ's teaching. We have that and we cherish it. And through God, we believe, through Jesus, we believe that God was reconciling the world to himself. That's all given. But what about those other faith communities? What about all those people from... look, if you look at the world and you do a map of the world, you can colour in the Christian countries. And you can colour in the Muslim countries. You can colour in the Buddhist countries and the Hindu countries. And you can see that people's faith is largely dependent upon where they were born. That's just a fact. That's just a fact. And that concerns me, because it kind of... I'm just looking for the right page. It kind of says that your faith is an accident of birth. Your faith is an accident of birth. And we've got to be honest about that as Christians. People will be Muslim because they're born into a Muslim family. They'll be Buddhist because they're born into a Buddhist family. They'll be Hindu because they're born into a Hindu family. When you speak to Christians, if you do a survey of Christians in churches, you find that the reason why most people are there, not all people, the reason why most people are there is because they're born into a Christian family or they've got Christian friends. That's the two biggest reasons for people adopting Christianity. It's relationships. If you're surrounded by people who are all Buddhists, you're going to be a Buddhist. The chances are you're going to be a Buddhist. And so it goes on all around the world. And you can say that perhaps a third of the world is Christian. A third of the world. That's all, just a third. Half of those Christians would be in America. Not half. Half of them probably will be Catholic. But a lot of them will be American. And it's interesting, a lot of those Americans will be fundamentalist Christians who will think that the Catholics aren't Christians at all and they're going straight to hell. Let's say a third of all the world is Christian. And then let's say perhaps a quarter is Muslim. And say 15% Hindu, 7% Buddhist, and the rest will be lots of other different bits and bobs. At Epiphany, I want to ask why God would condemn so much of the world to ignorance and to judgment just through an accident of birth. And, you know, God's given us a brain between our ears. If we're going to use it, we've got to say that just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. God isn't going to judge people just because they're born in the wrong place. As Christians, we say that we've got something special and we've got the light of Christ, and that's really, really important. But God's light shines in other faiths as well. And let's just recognize that and own it and rejoice in it. God's light shines in other faiths as well. I mean, look, those wise men, they came and they worshipped Jesus. They didn't then go back good little Christians. There wasn't a Christianity. They went back to practicing their Eastern arts and magic and they're looking at the stars. Now, did God judge them for that? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. And we talk about the Christian light as if it's so special and so unique and such a wonderful gift to the world that would change, if all the world was Christian, the world would just be such a brilliant place. And we forget about the years of the Christians' devastating persecution of the Jews, the Holocaust, the Crusades, the burning of the witches, the terrible exploitation of the Third World and dragging them all off to slavery, the fact that the church has supported fascists all around the world, dictators, the Christian church. We all rejoiced in Mandela. And, what a wonderful man. But let's not rewrite history. No, the church supported apartheid for a generation. Let's remember that as Christians. And what I'm trying to say is this, that there's goodness and badness in all faiths. There's goodness and badness in all faiths and different degrees, including Christianity. And it's not helpful for us to think of Christianity as being morally superior or spiritually superior to all these other faiths, so that there are saints and sinners in equal proportions in all the faiths across the world. And we're fortunate to have the teachings of Christ. But, from the teachings of Christ, Christianity has, in its religious formations across the world, introduced all kinds of codes and disciplines and stuff, which is really quite horrendous, when you look at the kinds of things that we've done and the way in which we've interpreted our Christianity. From the whole, business of excluding people who were divorced from communion to, not acknowledging women's rights, all kinds of stuff which just gets tagged on. And, you look at other faiths and you see, we talk about Christianity calling us to love one another. And that's the way in which we show our faith. But you look at the teachings of Hindu. You think of Gandhi. He said, if you give a drink of water and you get one in return, that's nothing. Real beauty consists in doing good against evil. The truly noble are one and return with gladness, good for evil done. That's like the stuff that Christians say. When we look at Buddhist teaching, as a mother cares for her son, her only son, all her days, so towards all living things a man's mind should be all embracing. This is Christian. This is the same stuff as we do. If you read the Quran, and you know, when we speak of Muslims, we often want to put on the word Muslim fanaticist, you know, as if there weren't Christian ones. If you read the teachings of Islam, God rebuked Moses saying, I fell sick, thou camest not. And Moses said, O transcendent one, what mystery is this? Explain, O Lord. And God said to him, wherefore didst thou not kindly ask after me when I was sick? And Moses answered, Lord, thou never ailest, my understanding is lost. And God said, yea, a favourite and chosen servant of mine fell sick. Consider well, his infirmity is my infirmity, his sickness is my sickness. This is like Christian stuff, isn't it? And what I'm saying is that great Christian teaching about how we should love and care for others is shared with our brothers and sisters in other faiths. It's Jewish, it's Islamic, it's Hindu, it's Buddhist. There is a basic moral outlook which is shared. And, you know, we all interpret other truths and put stuff on, but there is a basic stuff which is shared. Every person has been created by God and moulded with his... Here's a little thought. Every single human being has been created by God and moulded with God's hands. Now, I believe that. I think you should believe that. I think that's a universal truth. We're all pots created by the potter. So it makes no sense in my mind that God fashions beautiful pots and he puts them on different tables. Or puts them, if you like, into different countries. Knowing that putting that pot in that country, that pot's never going to, you know, be a Christian pot. It's going to be a Buddhist pot. What's he doing? Making pots to smash them up. It's nonsense. It's complete and utter nonsense. God doesn't make things to destroy things. And to me, that kind of theology is a nonsense. I don't know why God has placed so many people in other faiths. Religious diversity seems to be set into God's creation. And I don't believe that God's judgment falls on us through an accident of birth. We believe that God is the sole creator of the world. Only God creates. And God is loving and is gracious, and his graciousness extends to all humankind. I suppose what I'm saying is, and I have to be very careful, but I suppose what I'm saying is that God's light, shines out of many different lamps, to a greater or lesser degree, absolutely. We believe, however, that God is the sole creator of the entire human race. And perhaps at Epiphany, perhaps at this one time of year, we can see in this story people from one faith coming and understanding and appreciating the goodness in another faith. And that's a really important lesson for us all. Amen.